Welcome to episode 112 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will understand why Alistair and I needed to use these expressions frequently in the past as English teachers. Know four essential strategies that will get you out of a tight corner when you don't know the answer to something, and a useful bonus expression that gives you time to think and formulate your answer more carefully. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of this podcast. Today we are going to be talking about a scenario, a particular scenario that can actually happen to all of us. Of course it can happen in your own mother tongue, but in that particular situation probably you have the right tools to deal with this particular scenario a little bit better. In a foreign language it's always a little bit more difficult, and that's what we're going to help you with today. And as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi Alistair, how are you doing?
Hi Daniel. Yeah, fine. And you? Everything good?
I'm good. Yeah.
We're raring to go.
Absolutely. So the scenario in particular is when you might be in a meeting, you might be actually in a presentation, you might have just delivered a presentation, but can be in lots of different particular sort of, moments. And you might get somebody asking you a question, right? The question might be a good question. It might be a difficult question. It can be all sorts of different scenarios where you're just not 100% sure about the answer, right? And That's what we want to help our listeners with today. You're not sure about the answer. So we want to give you certain types of vocabulary, certain types of tools to get out of that situation without really just saying, I don't know, right? Mm. Now, I don't know is probably the thing that comes automatically to your mind. It's probably the simplest sentence. Going from sort of Spanish to English, you probably can say that fairly easily. You know how to say that. So it might be the first thing that comes to your mind, but probably not the best thing to say, right, Alistair?
Yeah, I suppose you don't want to say to your audience, whoever that may be, your clients, customers, colleagues, just to say, I don't know. No, maybe you don't know. Well, it could be you maybe know, but you're not sure, or you just don't know the answer. But it's always a good idea to avoid just saying, I don't know. It sounds a bit, it doesn't look very good, no?
Yeah, I suppose the other part of it is that it's quite abrupt, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not necessarily, there's nothing wrong necessarily with not knowing the answer to something.
Yeah.
But I think there are ways that we're going to look at of saying you don't know, perhaps, without actually using the words I don't know. And also it's very abrupt, just I don't know. You've got to offer a solution, not just I don't know. So I don't know, but is what we're looking at. No, is what are you going to do about the fact that you don't know?
Sure. Yeah. I suppose if you said I don't know, but and then you added extra information, it's not too bad.
Yeah, you can say I don't know, and then you continue speaking to offer what you're going to do to find the answer to that question or solve that problem. So if you say the but and then you continue, it's not too bad to say I don't
know. It's not too bad.
But then there are ways you can maybe just not say you don't know that sound a bit better.
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to give to our listeners today, right? Mm. I think actually that, the real danger or the damage done by I don't know is that it's so short and you're kind of like immediately extracting yourself from the conversation again, right? It's almost as if you're kind of like annoyed or something like that, right? So
the tone of voice, the body language, doesn't it? Oh, I don't know. So, you know, if you say it in the right way and then continue to say something more, then it's not, you can say I don't know, but just sort of going, oh, I don't know, And then
yeah, it's kind of almost
question,
like,
please.
I don't know, and almost like I don't care, right?
Yeah, it's sort of, yeah, it slightly implies like, yeah, it's a stupid question, or, well, you know, it's not that important, or
yeah,
I don't exactly. care. I'm not going to answer.
Exactly.
Yeah, so yeah. It doesn't sound, well, obviously in any language, in your own or in your English, just saying I don't know and then nothing else. Definitely not a good look, no?
And we thought of like a scenario, actually, where we have been in, I think, over the years quite a lot, and very much related to sort of our journey as English teachers, is this whole idea of when you're starting out, you maybe don't know all the answers. And I certainly can remember this, and probably it's the same for you, Alistair, where you kind of
definitely.
Arrive, especially in Spain. I think it's very interesting because like when you arrive in Spain and you're doing a class or whatever you might be doing, right? The grammar knowledge that people have is actually quite high, and certainly I noticed that in my sessions and so there was always this danger in many ways of having to say I don't know, right? Because they would literally maybe ask a grammar question, and your knowledge or my knowledge in that particular case would be less than the person I'm trying to teach, you know. So
yeah, well, because yeah, we don't learn our own language. Spanish people do, actually. The way they learn at school, lengua,
yes,
as you know from your kids, and lots of them struggle with Spanish language at school.
Yeah, yeah,
because they look at it from a very detailed grammatical point of view, and it's difficult, you know, analyzing your own language. Whereas in English, for whatever reason, I don't quite know why, we don't really. I mean, we had English class at school, and you write compositions, and you're creative. And you do, obviously, literature, studying books and poetry. But actually studying the grammar, we don't do a lot of that, or very little, or almost nothing, in fact.
Absolutely.
We don't, most native English speakers don't really know a lot about their own grammar.
That's right.
It's not just they don't know the grammar. We're not even taught, at least as I remember, the terminology of grammar.
That's right.
So it's not only you can't explain what it is, you don't even know that. So if someone says, "What can you explain the present perfect or the present perfect continuous or the gerund or the indirect object and all this terminology of grammar that Spanish people generally know because they've heard it at school very often?" Most English speakers would have no idea what you're talking. You know, a phrasal verb. What's that? Present continuous. What's that? Present perfect. No idea. So they don't even know the words to describe it. Never mind then understanding how to explain it. So yeah, when you begin as an English teacher, English as a foreign language, you're very, green? Raw?
Self-conscious about the fact you don't know.
Yeah, you're terrified of, oh my God, if they ask me a grammar question, I don't know the answer. And as you say, they've been learning English, generally speaking. The people we're teaching are not new. I've never come across English people. They're not beginners. Well, occasionally they are. But generally, you know, they're adults. We're teaching in companies in our kind of English teaching, no? Company, business English. So it's people who've learned English for years and generally, you know, at school.
Yeah.
So as you say, they've studied the grammar and done exams on it, and you know, for years and years.
Yeah.
So, of course, they know these terminology and they often... So they know more grammar than you. So, you know, when they're asking you a question, it's going to be quite a difficult one. By the fact they don't know. It's like a very precise, you know, when do I use this or why do we say that? Or what's the difference between this and this? And you're like, oh my God. You don't want to look stupid, like you don't know what you're talking about.
Of course.
In front
but
of
even,
your class.
Even gets worse than that, really, to be honest, because not only all of that you mentioned, which is true, but it goes down to even the simple building blocks, like a noun or an adjective.
Yeah,
or
people don't
you know, I can remember literally buying a book and saying, okay, so that's a noun and that's an adjective.
That's an adverb.
It was just like unbelievable.
A connector. All these terminology I never heard of in my life before coming here. You know, connectors. And you're going, what's that? What's a connector? I have no idea.
Yeah.
So it's more, as much as the actual thing itself, it is actually the word So you've got your students and your, yeah, when you're starting, asking you, so can you give me some connectors? What's a connector? Or give me some connectors to use. And you're like, what's a connector? Can you give me an example? So yeah, you look ignorant about your own language because you are. This is the point.
Sure. And
so quite a lot of the first days of English, or first weeks, or even years of English teaching, you're learning as you go along in the process yourself as much as the students in some ways, you know, and you're learning methods of trying to hide your ignorance, if you like, from the students.
Absolutely. And that's the main focus of this episode today, because, you know, we were in that situation and we had to probably use these types of tools that we're going to explain today. And they are very useful because we were in that situation where maybe we didn't know the answer. Yeah. And what can you use in that type of scenario?
Yeah, what strategy
can you use? Yeah.
To buy yourself more time is really what you need to get the answer. No, and but not to look, you know, too sort of silly or ignorant or stupid. And obviously, you can't just say when you teach in English or in business, you know, oh, I don't know. And the student is like, well, isn't that your job to know? I mean, you're the teacher.
So, aren't you English?
Well, yeah, that's another thing. It's like, but you're English. You don't know. You don't know what a present perfect is,
a
noun or something. No. So it puts you in some difficult situations at the beginning. Particularly, tenses and the
I mean, it's true that even recently I was in the Fluency community and one of our Fluency community members asked me the difference between like and as, and we will actually, and I said I would get back to her on this. And so maybe the next podcast episode will be about this. But there was an issue of between like and as for her. She wasn't 100% sure about that. And I gave her an example of a common mistake. So I kind of partly answered her question, but I didn't answer her whole, like that. I wasn't very fully comprehensive, right?
Yeah. Cause you know enough to know there's more to this and it's a bit more complicated, but you know, so I mean we'll come to this later, but you know, you can partially answer the question, the bit that you definitely are confident about. And that happens quite a lot. These, you know, so you say, oh, well, okay, I know that there's this difference and this one that I'm very sure about, and this is a common mistake that I know Spanish speakers make. But there's more to it, and it is more complicated, and there's other parts to this question that, you know, well, and then we'll come on to the things you can say. So, you know, even now after 20, well, I've been 25 years doing that or whatever, you know, you don't always know all the answers to everything.
No, you don't. No. Yeah. Even if you knew the answer maybe 3 years ago, you may have forgotten it by now.
May have forgotten it, exactly. Yeah. No one's asked you that for a while.
Sure.
You've forgotten the answer. Exactly. So, you know, it happens to all of us at all moments, particularly when you're new to something and you don't have that much knowledge, of course, is more likely. But, you know, even later it can happen. There's always questions people can ask you are very difficult and you don't know the answer, or you're not sure about the answer. And this is what we need to look at, sort of how do you respond to that, what phrases or language can you use in those situations.
Absolutely. So, and we've got four options here which I think are really powerful. They are really useful tools. And then we've got a bonus, which is a little bit of a comodín, which is basically a joker. Comodín is joker. So I always find that word comodín quite nice. I don't know why. It's like I had to play a few card games before I knew the word comodín in Spanish.
It's a nice word.
I always think that it's kind of like interesting how you memorize words, right? Because it's often through the actual act of doing. Probably if I'd you know, just remembered comodín from a book, I think it would have been more difficult for me to remember it. But as soon as I was playing a card game, and then I was like, Joker comodín. Okay, so that's how it works, you know. So
And you make that association then in your mind.
Yeah. That connection in your brain. Yeah, absolutely. Good. So let's go with these first four, and then we'll go to the comodín, the joker, later on. The first one, Alistair, is I'll get back to you. Now, you can add more stuff at the end, okay?
That's a classic. That's the one I used to use in those moments that we were talking about, saying, oh, very interesting question or whatever you say, and you say, I'll get back to you on that. Next class, I'll give you the answer, or later.
Yeah.
So I'll get back to you is always a great... So you don't have to say, I don't know. You just say, good question or interesting question or whatever it may be, and I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you next class. I'll get back to you later. So I'll get back to you is always a great way of responding when you don't know, or maybe you're not sure enough to give an answer in that moment. You will.
Yeah. It always reminds me this. It's kind of like, in a way, it's you could think of the idea of like the Monopoly game where you have the get out of jail card, so it's like it's
card.
Get out of jail for free. Right. And in a way, it's kind of similar to this idea. This is always going to work, right? No matter which sort of card question is sent your way, this is your get out of jail for free.
So I'll get back to you on that. I'll get back to you about that. I'll get back to you with an answer to your question. So there's, you can add little bits.
You can add
it,
all sorts. That's right.
All sorts of things. But the fundamental phrase is, I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Even you can partly answer the question like I did the other day, which is where you answer the question, or at least the part that you know, and then you say, but I'm not so sure about the rest, so I'll get back to you on that. You know, so that's really nice.
I'll get back to you on the rest, on the rest of the question or whatever. So that's a good one. That's a classic, very useful phrase. I'll get back to you, or I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. And number two is, let me look into that. Or you can say, let me look into that, just full stop. Or you can say, let me look into that for you, can't you, as well?
Yeah, you can add for you. Yeah.
And that's kind of the whole idea of, in English, we would say research, and in Spanish, it would be like investigación, right? So you're kind of like, you're kind of offering to go away and do your homework, really, aren't you, in a way?
Yeah, yeah. So, look into, useful phrasal verb. We probably mentioned it before, I'm sure, in other episodes. To look into, to investigate, to research, to find out. Or look something up is not to look it, I'll look it up. So you look it up in your grammar book, in our case, or whatever it may be.
Sure.
So you said, let me look into that. So, which sounds good. No, it's like, you're going to do a bit of homework, bit of work, bit of research.
Yeah.
So it gives quite a good image to the person, that, I'm willing to go away and look in some books or check in internet or wherever you get your information.
Yeah.
So, showing a bit of effort,
Yeah, exactly right.
That I really want to give you a good answer to that question. So, I'll look into it for you.
Absolutely.
And I'll get back to you. So you can, all these often you can add.
Well, that's true. You can combine them.
Combine them. So, I'll look into that. For you as quickly as possible, and I'll get back to you as quickly as possible, or tomorrow, or next class, or whenever it may be.
Yeah, yeah. These are kind of like bits of a jigsaw puzzle in the end. I mean, especially when we get to the bonus one at the end, you could probably connect the bonus that we're going to give and one and two, or like in various sort of combinations.
Combinations of all of these really can be connected.
Yeah. So it's kind of really useful to have them up your sleeve, all of these, and then combine them as you see fit, But
there's another good expression from playing cards,
having
something up your sleeve.
Yeah.
To have an ace up your sleeve, cheating.
That's right.
In card games.
That's right. Absolutely.
Which is the same in Spanish, Algo en la manga,
Yes, absolutely. So. Absolutely. Yeah, good. Number three is, I'm not 100% sure... I'm the best person to answer that. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, maybe it would be worth asking, and then, somebody else's
or
name.
Or better to ask X.
Yeah.
So that's slightly different. Well, I like that, I'm not sure. So in case, you're not saying you don't know, you're just not sure. So that always sounds better. No, it's like,
it does.
I probably do know the answer, but I'm not sure, so I'd rather, and in this case it's because you're saying you're not the expert in that particular area or field.
Yeah.
So maybe they ask you something about, accountancy. You're not an accountant. So you say, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure I'm the best person to ask that question, or to answer that question rather. So why don't you, I'd suggest you ask, or why don't you ask, the head of the accounts department, or whoever it may be.
Absolutely.
So that's a good way out of that situation as well. You don't know the answer, or you're not sure. That's what you're saying. And there's a reason. It's because, you know, well, that's not my field, my area of expertise.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you really want a good answer to that question, I'm not the best person to ask. So maybe you should ask this person so you can refer them to somebody else to get the answer they want. No?
It's a powerful one. It's a powerful one. It's good. It's good really one, is. Yeah. Really is. Good. And number four is similar. You start with, I'm not sure as well. But you say, I'm not sure at the moment, but I can double check for you. So it's a little bit like number two in the fact that you are going to go away and do your homework and you're going to do your research, right? But I think we wanted to highlight it because of this word double check, isn't it?
Yeah, sounds good again, double check. Well, you just say check, but double check sounds even better. The double check. So yeah, I'm going to go away and these are the words we use. Look into it, research it, investigate it, look it up in a whatever, a book. So yeah, it's like I'm going to make an effort to go away and do a bit of research and find out, do my homework. So I'm going to double check. Well, they either double this, but the idea that I want to be absolute. I'm not sure. I could give you an answer now, a quick answer, but it may not be 100% correct. And I don't want to misinform you. Or therefore, you know, I'm saying, look, you know, I'm going to double check it. So I'm going to go away, research it, look it up, whatever word you want to use, because I want to give you a, you know, the correct, 100% correct answer. You know?
Sure.
So it looks good for you, you know, look at, you know, I'm going to do my homework, do extra work, and because I really want to give you a good answer to your question, not just any answer.
Yeah. In fact, it could also be a good strategy if you kind of roughly know the answer. Okay, so imagine that you say, well, I think our revenue was about, I don't know, 3.5 million, okay, something like that, right? But to be honest, I'm not sure whether that's exactly right, so let me double check. And so that's also work. So it's kind of like where you want to give an answer, a rough answer, which you do give and you do provide, but you know, at the same time, you want to protect yourself in a way, because you're saying, okay, that's just very rough, but I need to double check to really give you the
that's
answer.
True. Maybe the double check is that you give some kind of answer. It's not a complete answer or a partial answer, or you're not absolutely 100% sure that what you've said is totally correct. So with numbers specifically, you know, it's very, so you might say, you know, what was the increase in sales in the last quarter? Now, you haven't got that information to hand, you know, with you, but maybe you're pretty sure you know the answer. You say, well, I think it was roughly about more or less X percent, but let me double check. So, you know, don't take my answer as being the 100% correct answer. So I've given you a rough estimate of what the answer is, because maybe that's quite useful. The person may say, that's enough. You know, I don't need the exact numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if it's more or less 10%, that's good enough. But if they need something more precise, they have to be absolutely sure. You say, well, okay, let me double check that for you, and I'll get back to you. It's coming back to the original there.
Yeah. That's why I kind of feel that all of these are a little bit like pieces of Lego that you can combine together.
Yeah.
Once you have them in your sort of repertoire or
toolbox,
or your arsenal, whichever metaphor you want to choose, right? You're kind of ready, aren't you? You're kind of ready for that scenario because you've got that information there for you. You can pull it out at any moment and sound absolutely fine. Yeah.
Depending on the particular situation and what you want to say, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a good one about double checking facts, particularly facts, no? Double check facts, information, numbers.
Sure, absolutely. So that's the four. Those are the four. But the cherry on the cake
icing on the cake, we sometimes say.
That's what
and
we
people
do.
Will say, what's icing? That's quite, it's a bit more difficult because the cherry is easy because in Spanish it's the same. But you say the icing, they go, icing? What, ice, hielo? And you say, well, no, actually it's a kind of sort of sugar that looks like ice. That's why it's called icing, I presume.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's, sugar. Is it glacé sugar that you put on the top of a cake? Yeah, so in English, you can say, you know, the icing on the cake and the cherry on. It's like an extra. No, the icing on the cake and then the cherry on top. Yeah, so it's like a double.
I have to say that I never, because like in England, they're often like birthday cakes are made with icing, right? And they're like the icing is often really, really thick.
Yeah, it can be very thick. Yeah,
I have to say it was like
too sweet, not very
absolutely, nice. Yeah. Crazy in terms of I just didn't really like it at all. I think it was just I thought, well, I mean, maybe the cake underneath was all right, but most of the time I really didn't like the icing at all.
Yeah. It's too sweet. It's sugar, basically. It's all it is, no icing.
Yeah.
Do you remember iced buns? I don't know if you had those.
Ah, maybe.
In Bournemouth or no. It used to be a popular, I don't know if they even exist anymore, but an iced bun. Right. Hard to describe. Well, basically just a kind of sort of little bollo, you'd say in Spanish.
Yeah.
A kind of sort of cake thing. And it just had white, white or sometimes coloured icing. You know, you can colour it. So, you know, I don't know, white, yellow, pink. I remember that one, icing on top. So quite a basic thing. It's really like a piece of bread, basically, with sugar on top, more or less.
Sure, absolutely.
Iced buns, I remember.
Interesting, yeah.
Some people liked them, some people hated them.
Yeah, I was never a fan of icing. And for me, that's a kind of like, it's a strange expression because, you know, if you think about it, you know, the icing on the cake was all supposed to be the good thing, the best thing, yeah, the bonus, right?
But I don't like it.
But I hate icing.
Yeah, well, I don't like cherry. Well, I do like cherries now.
You could have been the same.
Yeah, well, I like naturally. So this could, too, when you say the cherry on the cake or the cherry on top of the cake, it's those glacé.
I know, which are horrible as well. Well, I mean, horrible. I don't like them much.
Yeah, I don't like those. So I like natural, proper cherries, fruit. Yeah, they're wonderful. They're ones in Spain when they're in season. They're fantastic. Yeah. Cerezas, just in case anyone doesn't know what a cherry is. But the cherry on top of a cake is this very particular kind of cherry that's like, I don't know, it's, what is it? I don't know. Well, yeah, it's a sugary glacé.
I don't know how they produce those at all.
Yeah, it's a dried cherry. So it's not. Anyway, I don't like those at all. So it's strange to say that, it's the cherry on the cake, like that's the best bit. And you go, well, actually, I don't think it is. I don't like them. But then it just becomes an expression kind of like that crazy. People use. So you say. Yeah, it's irrelevant. Yeah. We don't care if you don't like it. It's the cherry on the cake. Right.
Anyway, let's get to the bonus,
we've gone off on a tangent.
Yeah, let's get back to the cherry. And we assume that the cherry is good. It's actually something that you can add on to all of these. And as I was saying before, it is very much sort of like a puzzle. And I think you actually used it sort of.
I might have said it before.
Yeah, you might have said it, Alistair. Yeah. Or a different version of it, at least. We would call this, we would say that this is sort of a joker in the fact that it can be used in pretty much all of them or in combination with all of them. It's basically the sentence, that's a good question, isn't it? That's a good question.
And I used to use that a lot. So at the beginning, as we were talking about teaching English and not knowing the answer, you say, that's a good question. That's a very good question. That's an excellent question. For more emphasis, no, you can add more words. So you're sort of, you know, saying something nice to your student. Oh, aren't you clever to have thought of that brilliant question? Which I don't know the answer to, but then you don't say that bit.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's a very good question. And in teach, maybe this wouldn't be appropriate in business sense in an office, in meetings. But as a teacher, you've got you say, that's a very good question. Does anyone know the answer to that? So you can actually ask the other students. And it's like, what you're saying is that I know the answer, of course, because I'm the teacher. But, you know, let's see if any of the other students can answer your question.
Yeah,
And then they can look very clever in front of the class.
Well, it's actually a very good technique.
It's a good technique, and you hope one of them will give the answer, and you go, yep, that's the answer.
It's true. But actually, it's also a good technique when you do know the answer, actually.
Yeah, or even if you do know the answer.
Even if you do know the answer, it's actually
Well, it's better if you do know the answer, because obviously the problem is if you don't know the answer, and one of your students gives an answer,
yeah,
and then everyone's looking at you to say, so is that the correct answer? And if you don't know, you're like, well, yeah, I don't. So that just makes it worse sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's better if you know the answer and you say, does anyone know the answer? Can anyone answer that? And then it gives them the opportunity to be involved, in the class.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's kind of like a little bit using the sort of reverse classroom, or there's a technique in teaching called a reverse classroom. the classroom or something like that, which is basically where the students become the teachers, right?
And you can even joke sometimes going, well, who wants to be the teacher? You can explain that. You be the teacher. Explain it to that person. And then obviously they're practicing their English. That's the point, no?
No, absolutely. It's a good technique.
That is a good technique. But yeah, if you don't know the answer, you can try that one and hope.
Yeah.
Because obviously when the person gives the answer, you may recognize, because maybe you've forgotten it or you're not absolutely sure. And if someone says it, you go, oh, yeah, that is the answer. Thank you. Inside your head, you go, thank you very much for saving my life.
Yeah, yeah. You're playing well done. Russian roulette, right?
Very good.
Russian roulette.
Russian roulette, a little bit there.
Absolutely. So coming back to the idea of, this bonus and Joker or whatever, I'm just going to combine this one with number one and number two. So the bonus with number one and number two would be, that's a good question. Now, I always actually think that's a good question is actually also a great way to give you a few seconds to think for the think
you're
of the
also
answer
thinking,
as well.
It buys you a bit of time. Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of when I was interviewed on a podcast and his questions were really, really good. So actually when I answered, but it was difficult to think of the answer immediately. So not only were his questions really good, so I was like, oh, that's a really good question. And it's sort of like genuinely saying it was a really good question, but it actually also gives you a few seconds to think of the answer.
To think of
right?
your answer. Yeah. Exactly.
So in this particular case, you could say, that's a good question. Let me look into that and I'll get back to you.
Yeah. So there's a combination of
All three.
Two of them, really. Yeah, three together in a way.
Three together with two and a bonus, basically. Yeah. It's just an example of how they can be, you don't have to just use one. And in fact, the idea of probably the ultimate would be that you use a combination of them because it just makes your answer sound better because you're the speaker for a longer period of time. The main problem with I don't know is because that you become the speaker, let's say, but then you're immediately passing that role of the speaker to somebody else because you're just saying I don't know, and then somebody else has to start speaking, right?
Yeah. So I mean, it just looks better in every way, you know, that you more articulate, intelligent answer. And you deal with it better. Yeah, and solve. Yeah. The situation to say save face sometimes
and also you're being proactive, right? Especially with that one, like let me look into that, or
it's showing
or double check something. You're being very proactive, which is very powerful as well. You know, it shows your sort of mental approach to the issue as
your willingness to want to give the right to find the answer and give it to that person, not just leave it. Oh, I don't know. Sorry, and then next question. So you're not,
yeah,
you're leaving
exactly.
that person very dissatisfied, like, oh, okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
You didn't answer my question. You don't know. Why are you here giving this presentation if you don't know what you're talking about? Yeah, it doesn't give a good image at all, does it?
No. Good. So let's just review that for everybody. Four ways to give you a little bit of, a few sentences, tools to answer a question where you're not 100% sure about the real answer or best answer. The first one was, I'll get back to you. The second one was, let me look into that. Number three was, I'm not 100% sure I'm the best person for that. Maybe you could speak to somebody else. And then number four was, I'm not sure at the moment, but I can double check for you, right? So that the double check being the key phrase there.
Or giving a partial answer, but saying, but I want to double check that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you may say, well, I think it's approximately this, but I'll double check for you and get back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, as we said, the Joker was, that can be combined with all of them, is that's a good question, which is really fantastic for you to just get, well, not only just to say that, which is nice, maybe, for the person to know that their question was good.
Makes them feel good. No, it's like, I asked a good question. Oh.
But also gives you a few more seconds to think about what the answer might be.
Of thinking time.
Yeah. Formulate your answer. If you know it, then perfect. And if you don't know it, to formulate the stuff that we've been teaching you today, basically.
Yeah. I was just thinking, make it even longer when you say, that's a very good question. In fact, I'm really glad you asked me that question, even though you're not, because you don't know the answer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good. Alistair, thank you very much. That was really nice. Hopefully it was very useful for our listeners. And I will see you again next week. Okay?
Yeah, a pleasure as always. Cheers.
All right. Speak soon. Ciao. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.